I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
How do we get to 1-2? I think he's only thrown.
Oh, he dialed it up, and he picked up his first big league strikeout. Saved the baseball.
Throw that ball out.
They did.
That's outstanding.
Save the ball, bat boy. Yes, they flip it to Josh Miller, who puts it in his back pocket. Little did Josh know at the beginning of the year he'd be saving a baseball from a strikeout pitcher like Chaz McCormick.
Authenticated. What's going on the mantle?
That was, what did he throw that last pitch at?
That was a heater at 82.2.
Come on.
Yeah, rushed it past him.
There you go. That's the big reason to watch the Astros now. That's why I'm watching, to stay up and see if by the end of the game we get a Chaz McCormick appearance. And last night we got a Chaz McCormick strikeout, Seth. And when Todd Callis, credit Todd Callis and Jeff Blum, Space City Home Network for that audio. Welcome in, everybody, on a Tuesday here on Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30 on the show today. Not only when Callis says, I bet when you talk to Josh Miller at the beginning of the year, he didn't think he'd be grabbing a ball from Chaz McCormick on a strikeout. I bet he didn't think that he would be coaching Chaz McCormick as the pitching coach for the third time in a week either. This is the third time in one week.
Honestly, I'm not begrudging Callis and Blum for trying to have some fun in the moment. I'm not begrudging the fans the other night for cheering when the Astros finally scored a run. Was that the 12-1 loss?
14-1. Yeah, 14-1.
14-1.
Yeah, they lost. They lost 12-0. It was 14-1. Yeah,
shut out in that moment. Yeah. This is the first time since 2005 that the Astros have been shut out three times in four games.
Yeah.
This is, and now it's not, I did not go back and look to see exactly what the score was in those games, but it's one thing to be shut out, and it's a whole different feeling to be shut out while the other team scores double-digit runs,
right,
or what have you,
right,
as we've seen here quite regularly, that it's turned it into, I mean, look, when Blum and Callis are kind of joking about it there and having fun with it, yes, you got to do something to try to stay alive, and yet it's the thing that bad teams do.
Yeah,
it's like Oakland A's type activity, yep, where you're like, hey, at least we got loud drums, hey, like,
yeah,
hey, maybe we'll have a fireworks show. This is so bad. It's awful.
No, they're a horrible baseball team right now. They're not a horrible baseball team overall throughout the season. Right now, it's almost like when you have a friend, Seth, who says something really stupid,
uh-huh,
and you don't call them stupid. You just tell them you just said something really stupid. You know,
yeah,
you're not a stupid person, but you're doing stupid things right now. That the Astros are not a bad baseball team.
Yeah.
But they are doing bad baseball team things. It's a long season, so they are a bad baseball team right now.
That's a local versus global assessment. In psychology, that you always want to be sure you're making local,
right,
critiques and not global. This was not a bright thing you did last night, Astros.
No.
You're not a moron in general.
No.
You're not an idiot.
No.
I'm not calling you that.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're acting like
an idiot.
You're
doing stupid things. Yeah,
yeah,
you're doing stupid things. And it goes to show you, too, in these games, that as good as the bullpen's been all year, there is some regression going on with a lot of these no-name guys. And Taylor Scott coming back up. I had not heard about that. But Taylor Scott, it goes to show you that how one bad reliever can just unravel the whole thing. Not that Eric Geddy was good last night.
I mean, that's been the perfect storm of all of this. It's not. It's the boy. I mean, like Framber. Like none of these guys have been good. Mm-mm. There's just you've had a bad starting performance, followed by bad relief performance after bad relief performance.
Yeah, the bullpen's been garbage.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, it's just it's been horrendous. Yeah. I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
No.
I'm at a loss for answers. Yeah. I know a lot of you thought you were going to tune in and figured by 6:05 a.m. Seth would have explained how everything's going to be all right.
You have it figured out. Yeah.
Yeah, listen. I'm not going to feed you candy and tell you lies, kids.
No. Nope.
It's rough right now.
Nope, it's rough. So they lose 10-0 last night. It was bad. The highlight was a Chaz McCormick strikeout in the ninth inning. I don't know what to tell you. And we'll talk more about it later on in the show. Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30. He was busy earlier this week trading John Metchie away. We had a chance yesterday to hear what D'Amico Ryans had to say about the John Metchie trade. John Metchie came here in 2022. We know his story. It's a great one. You know, just human interest side of it is amazing. Recovering from cancer, enough to get back on the football field, and make a few contributions to the team. Change of scenery probably will do Metchie some good. And also, this is a crowded receiver room. He might not have made the team. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on moving on from John Metchie.
Yeah, trading Metchie is not easy to do. I really have a lot of love and affinity for Metchie, everything that he's been through in his professional career, the things that he had to battle through and push through and overcome. It's just very, you know, very fond of the guy, and he's an inspiration to myself, inspiration to a lot of people to see what he was able to go through, overcome, get back to playing football, work back his first 2 years in this camp. I thought Metchie looked the best he's looked this camp. He's done a really nice job of preparing himself, putting himself in a really good spot, and he's done everything we asked and everything the right way. It hurts to lose him, but I know he's going on to a really good opportunity there in Philly, and he'll continue to flourish, and he'll thrive in Philly because Metchie has the right mindset.
I think the big thing here is that if you look at trade grades on it, for the most part, pretty much every trade grade I looked at gave the Eagles and the Texans either a B or a B+. And I think that makes sense. It's a pretty even trade where both teams are just saying, hey, here's a guy who's kind of a bubble guy on the roster anyway, but you guys could use a bubble guy. The Texans could use a bubble guy at the tight end position, and the Eagles could use another bubble guy to add to the competition in the mix with the wide receivers. I succumbed to just looking at Philly fan sentiment after this game, and a lot of Eagles fans were saying, we got plenty of receivers, this is weird. And then you realize, like, oh, no, they got three good receivers, and then they've got a competition brewing behind those three good receivers. So the only issue I have is that there are a lot of, there are at least two grades I saw where the Texans got a B and the Eagles got a B+. And I feel like just because of the trade compensation and that the Texans get a fifth rounder back in the deal and the Eagles get a sixth rounder, I feel like the Texans should have gotten the B+ versus the B.
Yeah.
I'd love to get all worked up and irate about that,
no,
but it's about right.
It's an even trade is what it is. I think the grades bear that out. CBS Sports gave both a B, and that's kind of how I feel about it. If I were to try to psychoanalyze why the Eagles would get a better grade, Metchie's a bigger name. You know, he played on some championship teams at Alabama. Guys know, remember him from that. You know,
I think that, and there's still a little bit of perhaps unknown upside just in that because this feels like a silly thing to say, and yet coming back from cancer can be a big deal.
It'd be a multi-year thing, yeah.
Yeah, and it's you know, Metchie himself talked about it to where he didn't quite realize how he wasn't himself until a year out or over a year out, and I think there's probably even more on top of that. So I think the upside of Metchie is still a little bit to be determined, where I think Harrison Bryant is what he is. He's the equivalent of a utility guy at tight end. You know, he's not a great pass catcher, but he can do it. Not an incredible run blocker, but he can do it. Yeah. He's a big, tall target, and he can take up some space. So he might fill a role on this team, but it's certainly not a slam dunk.
No, he might be an ideal tight end three, you know, and that's what this is. And Metchie might be an ideal wide receiver five for the Eagles. Yeah. The version of Metchie that they're getting, you know, the training camp version of Metchie this year has been probably the best version of Metchie. Metchie's had a really good camp. So the Eagles are getting that. So that was DeMeco on that. So the Metchie trade, we'll talk about that with Nick Caserio at 7:30 today on the show. The young offensive lineman, also a topic with DeMeco Ryans yesterday. This was DeMeco Ryans on Arriante Ursary. We'll also ask Nick certainly about Arriante Ursary and Blake Fisher. Here's DeMeco on Ursary, who looks to have – he's getting pretty close to locking up a starting job, it would appear.
I think Ursary in the game did a really good job where he was at left, and that's kind of the focus is wherever you line up, you just – do the best with where you are. Really don't worry about guys having to move around or like just when you're called upon, like can you go out and execute what's been asked of you and can you do it at a consistently high level with high energy, high passion? And he's shown that over these first two preseason games.
I'm kind of in the spot, Seth. Like, let's just go with Arriante Ursary at left tackle. You know, this is what his future is with the team. And he's played well enough in the preseason practices that you and I have seen, as well as these preseason games, where Cam Robinson's not a big enough entity to me to disrupt what is, I think, Arriante Ursary's career path here at left tackle.
And it's been interesting to watch Ursary go against competition other than Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter,
yeah.
Just because in practice there's times when you're not allowed to touch the quarterback. There's times where I think he had some pretty good reps, but it you just can't quite tell at the end of the pass rush, at the top of the pass rush, after Ursary has kind of run one of those guys around. You almost give credit to Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson and say, well, I think he could have turned the corner and gotten to the quarterback there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, because you're not actually playing real football there. I think most people had a tendency to give it to the defensive ends there. But in my mind, I thought it's been pretty competitive these last couple weeks. In the games, it definitely looks that way. That okay, wow, Ursary versus these bros is a lot different than Ursary versus Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson.
Oh, now, he's
going to face other really good pass rushers this year.
Yep.
It's not like those two guys are the only two good pass rushers in the league. But he's also only 3.5 weeks into his NFL career,
yeah.
Really, of playing with shoulder pads on.
Yeah. Does the opponent in week one factor into your feeling at all on Ursary playing left tackle? He'll probably be going up against Jared Verse, I would imagine.
No, Jared Verse won't. I don't think that Ursary is going to struggle as much with the type of pass rusher that Jared Verse is,
yeah,
compared to a lot of the guys that are, because Jared Verse is kind of, he's a power guy. Mm-hmm. His bull rush is the best thing he has going, and he's probably refined it some, and kind of like Will Anderson did from his first year to his second year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll be all right with that. It's more really getting a handle and a beat on some of the faster guys that are like Danielle Hunter that might give him more trouble early on.
One more quick one here. Here's DeMeco Ryans on Blake Fisher, who played much better on Saturday than he's been playing throughout camp.
Blake did a really nice job this past game of, when you see him just, for me, sticking on blocks, hat on a hat, working his feet, like finishing blocks, that's how it should look, right? So he has it in him. Blake just has to be consistent. What we're doing, consistently train, consistently finish every single rep, because physically he has all the tools that it takes to be able to do that. So this game here is representative of what he can do when he's dialed in and he's focused on the task and he goes after the job with the right mindset.
Yeah, there was one Nick Chubb run where I think it was you could see the difference between trying to watch a run play in training camp versus watching it in an actual game. And it was that Blake Fisher didn't have a perfect block. He was head up on the defensive end. But it was enough that the defensive end had to try to make an arm tackle. And then you could see out of Nick Chubb, with shoulder pads on and being able to hit the hole as hard as you can.
Yeah.
A play that might have looked like only a 1 or 2 yard gain in a no tackle practice,
yeah,
was actually a 7 yard gain because Nick Chubb is still really strong.
Yes.
I don't know where he is in terms of his explosiveness or his top end speed when he used to be, but he's still got strength and he still knows how to hit the hole with the right timing, and that was a really positive thing. So with that, with Blake Fisher, if I hadn't watched any of the first 3 weeks of training camp and I went out and I watched that game, and you told me, hey, this guy was a second round pick last year, I think, okay, you know what? That kid's got potential.
Yeah.
He's got promise.
Yep.
I think it's not like, oh wow, he's blowing me away or anything, but that's certainly not somebody you abandon after 1.5 years, not even 1 full year, 1 year plus 1 training camp of experience.
If you had him on the bubble of making the team, you watch something like that on Saturday, like, yeah, he's making the team as a second year guy, you know, because early in camp, there's a lot of talk about, does Blake Fisher make the team? So we'll see. We'll talk about we'll talk to Nick Caserio about everything going on with the Texans at 7:30. He joins us. The GM joins us on the show today. Up next, let's stick with the Texans. Week one, the matchup, we just mentioned it. They play the Rams in week one. Some doings yesterday that affect that matchup in week one, and we'll circle back to the Astros as well. The reinforcements need to get here ASAP. We'll do that coming up next.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Matt Stafford was back at practice yesterday for the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Why does that matter? The Texans play the Rams in just a few weeks. Sunday, September 7th, they open the season in L.A. against the Rams. Here was Rams head coach Sean McVay after practice on the return to practice of Matthew Stafford.
Wondering, you know, it was good to be able to have Matthew out there. You know, he did a good job today. I thought he looked good, but, you know, I don't really have any updates. You know, I think there was a lot of intended information, but there's no updates. We're going to keep it a day and really a week at a time, but it was great to be able to see him out there today. And, you know, we'll see how this afternoon goes and tomorrow.
This afternoon, and by saying we'll see, I'm assuming, by saying we'll see how this afternoon and tomorrow goes, how does the back feel after getting out and throwing the ball around with his teammates yesterday?
This is interesting. And, you know, I saw a lot of people yesterday say, well, hey, look, you know, what were you idiots? You thought really he wasn't going to play. They were just being careful with him like they have in the past. I don't think it's quite as clear as that. And then you have to add into this the fact that the Rams are notoriously slow starters. They are the Alex Bregmans of the NFL, except for this year. Jerk. And so they get off to slow starts. They don't play their starters hardly at all in the preseason, and they play the Texans the very first game. So I'm great him getting out there a couple weeks before the regular season begins and starting to throw the ball around. That wouldn't breathe a whole lot of hope and confidence in me if I were the Rams, or if I were gambling on the Rams in week one.
Yeah, I haven't looked to see what that's interesting you bring that up. I haven't looked to see if the lines moved much at all. It's hovered around a field goal. The Rams a field goal favorite. These two teams are largely viewed as similar. The Rams are getting a bump because of home field advantage in that week one matchup. I just wonder, and I'm not a doctor, but I just wonder if we've started to veer close enough to the season where there's really no great solution for the Rams. You're either going to get a rusty, possibly injured Matthew Stafford, or you're going to get Jimmy Garoppolo, which would be a dream come true, getting Jimmy Garoppolo in week one against this defense.
Garoppolo's got a little bit of that dynamic of an Anthony Richardson, though, too, where it's on any given Sunday, he might kill you. He can make the great throws, but he just also makes the really stupid
throws. I'll take
throws
my chances.
Well. I'll take my chances on the stupid throws. So right now the Texans are 2.5-point underdog to the Rams.
Okay.
So that had been three. I wonder if as I hadn't been paying attention to the line, as time went by, this wasn't a full 100% endorsement of health by the Rams in having him back out there. McVay is he's soft pedaling this a lot.
He literally said, we'll see how later on today and tomorrow goes. You know,
right.
This feels, and I have no reports on what exactly he did, and maybe you saw, Seth. I haven't seen what exactly he did and didn't do. I saw a couple videos of him throwing a football, and he looked fine throwing a football. He's obviously not taking any punishment in these practices. So this feels like it's very much touch and go still. Like if I'm everything I'm seeing, if I were a Rams fan sitting in Houston getting the information that I'm getting right now, I wouldn't feel great about how week one is going to go. You know,
you go and you look back, and all of a sudden it's been 4 years since he had that 41 touchdown performance in 2021.
Yeah,
and which is really an outlier for him. He'd never had an output quite like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last couple of years, he's been 24 touchdowns in 2023, 20 touchdowns in 2024, and it's what older quarterbacks tend to do. You start to fizzle out of it, but it's kind of like going broke, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
People go broke very slowly and then all at once.
Yeah.
And quarterbacks are sometimes the same. They age very slowly and all of a sudden they plummet off a cliff.
Yep.
I'd point to Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Yeah, I was listening to a national show on the way in. I think it was on our airwaves. I can't remember. But they were bringing up they were talking about Monday Night Football last night because it was the Bengals and the Commanders, and the Bengals defense looks just as bad as it did last season. And obviously Trey Hendrickson is a thing right now. There's rumors now that they're shopping him and that there's teams that are calling the Bengals about trading Trey Hendrickson off of an already horrific defense. They would be losing their best defensive player. And whoever the host was brought up the fact that, like, man, if the Cincinnati Bengals start, kind of blowing Joe Burrow's prime years here, like the Dolphins did with Dan, they made the comp to Dan Marino back in the day. Like, Dan Marino was the best quarterback in football. In 1986, he threw 44 touchdown passes. The Dolphins went 8-8 because their defense was terrible. They were making that comparison, and they said if they don't win a division or at least make it into the playoffs in a division with two 40-year-old quarterbacks, and I'm going, holy crap, because the Browns named Joe Flacco their week one starter yesterday. Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers are in the same division. They're both over 40 years old. I don't know that that's ever happened before. Two quarterbacks over 40 years old starting week one in the same division?
It's probably a real obvious one that we're forgetting. I do think Tom Brady screwed up people's thinking a lot on quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And because I've succumbed to it too, because I look at Matt Stafford and I think, oh, he is only 37. Only 37? The cutoff age for quarterbacks used to be right around 35 or 36. And there have been a few guys that have made a push into their 40s now, but it's still, That's old for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Not every quarterback ages gracefully on into his 40s and wins a Super Bowl like Tom Brady.
All right, I'm adding that to the list of things to get if we have time to get to Casario with you today, asking about did Tom Brady delude the rest of the NFL into thinking they can just throw 40-year-old quarterbacks out there?
Yeah, that we go, hey, oh, you know what? Yeah, look, let's give Kirk Cousins a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
Let's give Aaron Rodgers a shot and make him the guy.
Cousins is still only like 34, but he feels like he's 40.
Is he only 34?
He's in his mid-30s. He got drafted in 2012. So let's say he was 22 coming out. He's probably 35. I would guess Kirk Cousins is 36 years
old.
He's
37.
He's 37, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not 40.
That's a lot different than 34.
Well, he's 37. He's 36. Yeah. It's just also different. 30, same difference as 40. Yeah.
I'm saying 37 is old, though.
Yeah.
And for most quarterbacks, 37 is old.
Yeah.
And but they just keep trying to push it down the road. Well, they don't get hit as much as they used
to. Well, and 37 with an Achilles tear on your resume may as well be 40.
Yeah. I had, for an Achilles, I had 2 years at least to your age, to your chronological.
Is that what it is? That's the conversion chart?
That's what I do, yeah.
Okay. So the Texans, I don't know.
Equivalent of having had a stroke. Yeah. Like, all right, he's just not the same as he used to. He's
53,
person.
But, yeah.
Right, yeah, it's just he's not quite the same as he used to be.
Yeah. Seth, shifting gears here, do we need to start keeping as close an eye on the Cleveland Guardians as we do the Seattle Mariners? The Cleveland Guardians are the first team out in the wild card round right now, or in the wild card standings, I should say. There's a pretty big gap in the American League. There's the three division leaders. The three wild card teams are all tied. The Yankees, Mariners, and Red Sox are all tied. And then the Guardians are three games back, which in late August is a somewhat substantial lead. You make up three games in a week, but three games against good teams, tough to make up. Should we be watching the wild card standings as close as we're watching the division standings right now?
I guess, yeah, we have to.
I mean, they that's just, 100%. Right?
I mean, can't we continue? They've been shut out three times in four games.
You cannot go on this on the rant that you did in the open about the Astros and answer no to the question, should we be watching the wild card standings?
They've been getting, they're not just getting shut out, they're getting destroyed.
They're getting killed.
Well, they're getting shut out. And even when they manage to score one run, they're still getting destroyed. Okay. It's unbelievable. Yes, there's nothing, there's no end to my my worst case scenarios in my brain right now.
FanGraphs, which calculates the percentage chance of teams winning the division, making the playoffs, winning the World Series, etc. FanGraphs has the Astros' chances of winning the division at 52% right now versus the Mariners at 47%. But they've got the Mariners at nearly 9% to win the World Series and the Astros at 5.5% to win the World Series. That, I, without looking, that has to be a function of schedule. The Astros have an easy, if I had to guess, the Astros have an easier schedule, which allows them a better chance to win the division. But the Mariners top to bottom are a better team right now than the Astros, just in terms of the overall talent and the balance between the pitching and the offense.
How many times in one postseason can Hunter Brown go on 3 days rest? That would be my question.
How many times can he go on 1 day rest?
Can
Hunter Brown pitch all seven games?
I can't even, right now, the way the pitching has been going, I can't even go to that part of my brain where I can say, well, when the Astros get to the postseason, they can get creative with their pitching. We can have piggyback starts, and we can have middle relievers, and starters turned closers. And it's like, none of them. I don't trust any of them right now.
Dude, I wanted to say so badly after, I forget which blowout loss it was. I think it was Sunday when they lost 12 to nothing, as opposed to last night when they lost 10 to nothing, or Friday when they lost 7 to nothing and almost got perfect game. But Sean Dubin came in and just was he's been terrible since he's come back from the injured list. And he was awful, and I wanted to tweet so bad. Well, Sean Dubin's unusable. And then they bring in this Weems guy, and I'm like, he's unusable, but you have to use him because they're calling up Taylor Scott. They got this Weems character who sounded like somebody made up on MLB 2K, like that my kids made up on a video game. He comes in and gives up four runs or whatever it is. It's bad, man. It is bad right now. And yet, 52.1% chance to win the division, according to the computers right now for the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to remain this bad forever. I mean, it can't possibly. The only thing that would be the most drastic thing that could happen is that Arrigetti or Javier or Luis Garcia have some more setbacks somehow.
Yes.
I mean, we've still got Lance.
Lance is with them. Okay, we should point this out. Lance, I'm not delivering this news to upset you. Lance is in Detroit with the Astros. That would seem to be an indication that he's coming back soon. Right, and he's not been good either. I'm just delivering the news. Brandon Walter had a setback. That's not good. He's got elbow inflammation again.
The list, when they tweeted that out yesterday, I think Chandler Rome tweeted it out that he'd had a setback, and he put the whole list.
It doesn't fit in a tweet.
Everybody is injured right now. Right, yeah, you have to expand the tweet to try to look at the entire injured list.
You scroll on the Astros injury list. Yeah, it's crazy. And Luis Garcia, you mentioned his name, so I'll mention he according to the team is going to have at least one more rehab start. Mm-hmm. And he's been good in his last couple rehab starts.
The only thing I feel good about right now with the Astros is that they are single-handedly demonstrating how stupid batting average is as a stat, and how ridiculous it was that we followed that so closely for a full century, because they're the second best team in the league in terms of batting average.
There's no way. Are they really?
They're really high up there, yeah.
Oh my God.
They just got no pop.
They got no slug. Slug, as the kids like to say.
They might have fallen to but they're certainly in the top five.
Yeah, in batting average. I had seen that too. Yeah, good batting average. No slug. All right.
They're fourth. They're fourth.
Your point remains. This does not look like a team who should be fourth in anything offensively right now. Anything.
Remember when Altuve was the batting champ, and the entire season Carlos Correa wouldn't stop talking about how stupid batting average is.
No, that was when Yuli won the batting title.
Oh, that's right, that's right. That was when Yuli won the batting title. Yep. That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And Correa wouldn't just stop popping off about OPS. And I'm like, I agree with you, Carlos, but
your teammate
Yuli's about to get a silver bat because of this.
Yeah, he's an older guy. He hasn't had accolades like these. Let him enjoy it.
Yeah, just let him have it, okay? Yeah, he's an older guy back when batting average used to matter.
He's gotta be such a jerk. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're off and running here on a Tuesday. Nick Caserio joins us in about an hour, 7:30. The Texans executive vice president and GM joins us on the show. Up next, we'll do some headlines. Texans did make a small signing yesterday. We'll get you up to speed on that. What did Joe Espada have to say about the Astros' very subpar performance again last night? A signing inside the division in the AFC South. So we'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to headlines. Quick Texans headline. They did make a signing yesterday. They signed a wide receiver, Juwan Winfrey, formerly of the Colts. 9 catches, 75 yards over 3 seasons.
Sounds too much like Weems. I don't...
he's the equivalent of Weems on the Astros, yes. So just some roster filler, I'm assuming, for the Texans there. They're back at practice today. They had a walkthrough yesterday.
Notable thing from the walkthrough was that Cam Robinson was with the twos and Ariante Irisuri was with the ones. I thought that was the most notable thing. And I'm the first to say, hey, don't read too much into what the depth chart looks like at any given time. The day that Cam Robinson got injured, he was going with the second offense that day.
Yeah.
So it was, I know there's because the timeline gets a little bit murky, I think some people thought that, oh, well, Cam Robinson got hurt and that gave Ariante Irisuri a chance to go with the ones. It did shuffle things up a little bit positionally, but like they were giving Ariante Irisuri a chance to go with the ones at right tackle that day already, I think.
Yeah, it was a weird
It was going to be at left tackle.
At left tackle.
Yeah, it's with or without the Cam Robinson injury, I think they've just been really impressed with Ariante Irisuri.
It was a strange coincidence. That was the first day in West Virginia when that all went down. So, yep.
Maybe that was Cam Robinson's version of a hold-in. Maybe he went out there with... Maybe he got...
twos. I guess the other thing, too, I was at the walkthrough yesterday. Miles Bryant was with the safeties in the position breakouts. He's normally been a slot corner. He was, you know, and the corners were all at one, you know, they were all of a group and the safeties were a separate group. He was with the safeties yesterday.
That's interesting because I think I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Petrie gets some time at true actual safety, depending on how all these injuries shake out and whatever C.J. Gardner-Johnson's injury situation, and then Jimmy Ward with both his legal and his injury situation.
Yep. Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30 on the show today. To the Astros we go. They lose 10-0 yesterday. They get shut out. Spencer Arrighetti was not great. The bullpen was not great. Well, I say the bullpen. I don't want to paint everybody in the bullpen with the Taylor Scott brush. Taylor Scott made his comeback to the Astros yesterday and was horrible.
One of our texters said, hey, not trading for a pitcher at the deadline is unacceptable when you look at what these results are. I agree with you, and yet also they've been shut out 3 times in the last 4 games.
Oh, yeah.
First time. Everybody listening, anybody over the age of 20 right now, just think about everything that's happened with the Astros since 2005. Changing leagues. The dark days of the reset, All of those things, the being better than everybody else scandal. This is the first time since 2005 that the Astros have been shut out three times in four games.
Yeah.
And it's if they had traded for three pitchers at the deadline, they still could have lost those games with the offense being as meager as it's been.
Yep. Here was Joe Espada after the game on Spencer Arrighetti and not getting the offense going as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we also have to execute better on both sides of the ball, you know, offensively, you know, on the mound. I thought Spencer came out first couple of innings, stuff looks really good, and then just fell behind some hitters and the walks, and then from there, you know, things kind of speeds up. You know, we just got to execute better, get quicker outs, and then give our offense an opportunity. And we, offensively, we just haven't been able to get anything going, which I know will turn around. Just hasn't been the case the last couple of games.
Yeah. Regarding the offense, I would say all eyes on Sugarland tonight. Yordan Alvarez makes his first start in an actual baseball game. Oh, he's in Corpus? Okay, did I say Sugarland? I would say put some eyes on Sugarland, too. It's a beautiful suburb of the Houston area. Thank you. Colin Neal in for Ben today, our producer, getting in my ear. So Yordan Alvarez is in Corpus getting ready for a rehab start today. He'll have the day off tomorrow, and then he'll play Thursday and Friday this week. They need Yordan Alvarez back in the worst possible way right now.
They do, and when you look at the runners left on base, it's easy to imagine Yordan Alvarez just sweeping them all home.
Yeah,
and,
but I choose to imagine.
That's all you have to do, Yordan. You know where I am with Yordan right now. I'm dead inside. I allow myself to feel no hope.
Mm-hmm.
I allow myself to, I'm focused on what's 6 inches in front of me, Sean.
Yeah.
And until Yordan shows up and looks like the Yordan of old, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that that's the panacea for everything that's wrong with the Astros right this moment.
That's healthy, I think. I think that's healthy. Lance McCullers is in Detroit with the team. No time frame on his return. The injury news on this team is a mile long. We would need a podcast to do it. But the big ones are pitching injuries. Luis Garcia, one more rehab start. It sounds like he needs. The bad news, Brandon Walter, who I feel terrible for. His whole career, after being a big-time prospect in the Red Sox organization, has been fits and starts. And he had been very good for the Astros in the role that he was being asked to fill, which is a back end of the rotation starter, and of course had some elbow inflammation and was trying to come back from that, and he had more elbow inflammation. Now they're shutting him down. Just bad news for Brandon Walter all the way around. NFL news, the Colts are signing Xavien Howard to a one-year contract for up to $5 million. The defensive back, who I believe is a Houston guy, he went to Baylor, I know that. He had been sitting out for a while. He was a name that was out there last year, too. The Colts have all kinds of injuries going on in their secondary right now. So they signed Xavien Howard to a one-year deal.
The Colts have all kinds of issues in general. Anthony Richardson, he had that one really nice pass. It's so funny to watch people consume Anthony Richardson news. He had a beautiful pass that was negated by penalty in the preseason game. As he was in there working with the second group, mind you, so in the preseason, going against the twos, had a beautiful pass, it was negated, and yet Colts fans have deluded themselves once again into calling that a promising performance in which Anthony Richardson completed 55% of his passes. They just blew a couple of easy passes, got a penalty on an RPO because he held onto the ball too long. Remember, this is your dual threat quarterback who's going to really need to execute RPOs well.
Yep.
On an RPO, you can't hold on to the ball too long because the offensive linemen, after a certain amount of time, they just go downfield.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson makes a rookie error playing like a guy who's played barely any football in his whole career.
He made a rookie error.
It's everything that's bad about him. Yes, but he can make the highlight throw. How long are people going to continue to point to his highlight throws and act like they mean anything at all?
I'll answer that forever. It's the internet. That's what they're going
to
do.
Every time they've lost to the Texans, Anthony Richardson has made some brilliant throws in those games, but he's made twice as many stupid throws.
So,
I hope they give this 3, 4, 5 more years
to
play out.
Let it marinate.
Let's see if he matures at some point.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, whereas the internet will grab one or two highlights and run with that, you actually sat down and watched every snap of Anthony Richardson.
I watched every snap of Anthony Richardson. And I excuse America at large for being deluded by a few highlights here and there.
That's nice of
you. Colts fans just show how stupid they are. They continue to delude themselves.
Yeah.
But like, he went out and did exactly what Anthony Richardson does, which is 50% completion with one or two impressive throws balanced out by twice as many stupid throws.
It's
yes.
A, you know, the Texans have a it's an interesting schedule for the Texans, Seth, this year because they play the Titans both times and the Jags both times before they play the Colts one time. They're they're done with the Jags and the Titans by week 11. They don't play the Colts till week 13. So all this talk about Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson, I mean, it's relevant to the Texans because they're in the same division and you hope the Colts, you know, lose all their games, blah, blah, blah. But as far as it winding up on our front porch, this topic, it's not going to happen until like Thanksgiving. You know?
I just enjoy watching it.
Oh, I don't know. I do too. Yeah. I do too. It's just, as you're talking about it, I'm like, oh, I'm chomping at the bit to face Anthony Richardson if that's who they choose to start. I mean, they opened the season with him last year. They've opened the season with the Colts a couple of times the last two or three years.
By the time the Texans face Anthony Richardson, he will have at least one episode where, oh, now he gets it. You know what? We realized that Anthony Richardson wasn't really quite approaching it the right way, but now he gets it, and now this is going to be the best version of Anthony Richardson.
Week 13, they ain't seeing Anthony Richardson. He'll have either played his way out of the job or gotten hurt by week 13.
Daniel Jones is a more predictably atrocious quarterback, which I feel like you can work with that.
I
you
think
know,
so too.
Yeah, at least you can manage exactly how he's going to disappoint you as opposed to Anthony Richardson, where it's, you can't predict like him taking himself out of the game. Who would have predicted that?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. All right, Payne and Pendergast, Nick Caserio going to sit down with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to the Texans executive vice president and GM about the team heading into the season, training camp so far, all the big topics going on with the Texans. We'll do with Nick Caserio in about 35 minutes or so. Up next, first-time Pro Bowlers. Who will be the first-time Pro Bowler for the Texans this year if they have one? I think there's one that's way out in front right now, and we heard from him yesterday, and you'll hear from him in a moment. Stay there.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.